Now, I want to expound these verses, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 16. But I want to park some thoughts on verses 7 and 8. Exercising thyself rather unto godliness. And so in the next, I'm not sure, in the next couple of weeks at least, I want to talk a little bit about the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. I want you to notice these verses. Refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise. See, the word exercise is the Greek word gymnasia. It's where we get our word gymnasium from. It's where it comes from. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And so I want to spend a bit of time in these verses, but we're not going to have time tonight for me to say what I want to say. All right, but I've got three D's. I don't always have an outline, you know that. I'm not one of those guys that just, what do they call it about with a text, Brother Hannah, alliterating a text, isn't it? Some guys have got point one and two and three and four and all the P's line up and the sub-points all start with H and so on. Well, you know that I'm not that clever. But I do have an outline tonight. And the outline is three D's. So you might be able to remember the outline. And the outline goes like this. Diets, distractions, and disciplines. All right? Diet, distraction, and discipline. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you again tonight to be able to be gathered in this place tonight to come one with another. And to come to fellowship together to worship you. And thank you one day we'll be around that throne in heaven. And Lord, what a time, what a sight it will be. Our faith will have turned to sight. But in the meantime, we gather as a local church to fellowship one with another, to worship and praise your name, that your name would be honoured and glorified on this earth. And we thank you for the stirring and the encouragement and the challenge that you've given us in an amazing way in that divine revelation of the Word of God, that we might know your will and your ways for our lives, and that we can come to this church and freely open the Scriptures in this country without fear or favour. And we can freely, as Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. And I pray you would help me to do that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, anybody knows, first point is diet. Anybody knows that a poor diet, little exercise, eventually can end up in poor health? Verses 7 and 8 give a contrast of bodily physical exercise and spiritual godly exercise. Now we live in a world today where we worship the body beautiful. And people are making millions of dollars out of that. With health farms and gymnasiums and the pills, what do we call the health pills? Is there a name for them? Health pills. Vitamins and not Tic Tacs. Vitamin pills and all that sort of thing. Now, don't get me wrong, I think it's wise to eat a well-balanced, healthy diet and to get plenty of exercise. But never at the neglect of the spiritual exercise. The emphasis in these verses is a contrast. Bodily exercise profits little, Godly exercise profits plenty. Okay? Now, we know at the rapture we will be given a glorified body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Bible says, who shall change this vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 talks about this body as an earthly tabernacle that one day will dissolve. Okay, presently, now, we are told to get into the spiritual gymnasium. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Gymnasia. Exercise. And start pumping those spiritual muscles that God says. Notice in this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It is profitable unto all things having the promise of the life that now is. God says, godly exercise, godliness is profitable now here on this earth. Presently. But not only that, look at this verse. It says, and of that which is to come, of that which is to come, a disciplined, godly life now will reap eternal rewards in eternity in heaven. A disciplined, godly life. And I want to speak to you tonight about the marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ. Okay? The marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ. Firstly, will feed his people on a good diet of the Word of God. I want you to notice verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. All right, notice the words nourished up there. Entropho is the Greek word, and it means to feed. This word is used metaphorically to describe the results of the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Notice what it says, nourished up in the words of faith. The words of faith. You know, there's something about the Word of God that when it is taught in the power of the Holy Spirit, it seems to stir and encourage faith in our lives. I mean, it stirs and encourages faith regarding salvation, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It stirs in a man's heart, an unsaved man's heart, when he comes under the sound of the message of the gospel. It stirs in his life and stirs in his heart his need of Christ, his need of salvation. But not only that, when God's people come under the sound of the Word of God, or even just reading the Word of God in your quiet time of a morning, it seems to stir in our lives and seems to instill faith into our lives. It's referred to here, nourished up in the words of faith. The words of faith. Something about the Word of God when it is preached. Okay, and then it says in this verse, 1 Timothy 4 verse 6, and of good doctrine. You know, the word doctrine, didache, is the Greek word, it means teaching, is all over these letters. And notice here in this chapter, verse 13, Paul says to Timothy, give attendance to doctrine. Meaning to take heed, to notice, means give attendance to. Verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The word save in this verse is the word sozo. excuse me, it means to deliver or to protect. You know, continuing in the doctrines of the Bible, or as Jude 3 says, earnestly contend for the faith, is twofold. Notice what it says. Notice the word both here in this verse. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself, that's Timothy, the preacher, and then that hear thee, probably the congregation at Ephesus where he was pastoring. The word save is the word not like salvation here, but it means to deliver or protect. And Paul was saying to Timothy, Timothy, you better watch your step, you better take heed that you stay true to the doctrines of the Bible, because if you do that, it will guard you and it will protect in your own life and in your family's life and keep you on track for the Lord. We spoke about last week the seducing spirits in the previous verses in this passage, and how easy it is for God's people to be drawn away from the doctrines and drawn away from the truths of the Word of God. How easy it is. And Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, if you stay true, stay on track, there's nothing new under the sun, just stay to the doctrines that have been passed on to us by the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles have passed on to the church through their writings and these writings and the canon of Scripture. If you stay true to those, it will be a guard and it will be a protection in your life, but not only in your life, it will be a guard and protection to those who are under your ministry. Notice what it says there, 1 Timothy 4:16, shall both save thyself and them that hear thee. Them that hear thee. Okay? Will be a banner of protection, a guard or a deliverer for the congregation. Holding true to the word of God will protect you from those seducing spirits. Draw you away from the Lord, from a good, sound, fundamental church. We spoke about last week. Just go in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Hold your finger in Timothy. Go to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. All right, who wrote the book of Acts?
Luke.
Dr. Luke, good, I'm glad you...
The Holy Spirit.
there has to be a wiseacre everywhere, doesn't there? Hey? All right. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, notice this. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God. This is the Dr. Luke writing on regard of the words of the Apostle Paul speaking to the elders of Ephesus at a place called Miletus. And the warning is here, take heed. Take heed unto yourselves, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Talking about doctrine. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Good minister of Jesus Christ will nourish the people on a good, sound, healthy diet of the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons that we teach and preach expositorily. Take a book of the Bible and work our way through it, covering the whole counsel of the Word of God. And when I was teaching the pastors' class, the preachers' class in Papua New Guinea, and I had 2 days about teaching them on expository preaching. And when I recalled over the years of 23 years of preaching here from this pulpit, and I recall the amount of books that I'd preached through in the Bible, and I didn't remember, but you know, when I recalled that which I'd preached through, the book of Genesis, they're just not there right at the moment, but it was a big section of the whole Bible that I have systematically gone through. And I said to them, not only has it been, hopefully, been a blessing to our congregation, but it's just been a great blessing to me in my development as a pastor, in having a understanding of the Scriptures. And so it's been a blessing to me. Hopefully it's a blessing to you. But the marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ will teach a good, healthy, consistent diet of the Word of God. And I think it's fair to say that's what you get here at this church. And that's what God's people need. You know, it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You're not going to be built up by going to a church where there's got a rock and roll band and entertainment and all that type of business. And, you know, and all the fanfare. We're not interested in that. You know, it's the Word of God that is going to build and strengthen in the lives of God's people. All right, that's number one. The marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ. I got that phrase, if you go back to Timothy, I got that phrase out of that verse in where is it? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. And I'm not sure if I've got it in my notes here, but put the brethren in remembrance of these things. I mean, if you go back in what we've already studied, we've talked about, prayer in the church. We've talked about ladies' roles in the church. We've talked about the leaders in the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the bishops and the deacons. And, you know, we're just talking local church doctrine. And Paul said to Timothy, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. All right, the second D in our outline is the word distractions, verse 7. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. A good minister of Jesus Christ will be weary of distractions in the ministry. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. We address this in chapter 1, verse 4. The word fables is the word muthos. And it means stories or legends, but they have no biblical foundation. Stories or legends, but there is no biblical foundation to them. Titus chapter 1, verse 14, says, neither give heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. The word profane is the word bebelos, and it means crossing the threshold. It's getting into areas of hearsay. It means getting roped in or sucked in to discussions that have no biblical foundation. And I was talking to a man this morning, and I was saying that there's some things that God has told us that are clear in the Bible, and those things I can stand and preach on, and I ought to. But there are some things that are not so clear, and God has just not revealed certain things to us. We can discuss them, and we can have our thoughts and speculations about them, but we ought to be careful they don't become distractions. Particularly become divisive issues among us. Okay? Let's deal with the facts. And the facts are, notice verse 10. Let's go over verses 7 and 8 and go to verse 10. Verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labour, suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. All right, let's deal with the facts now. Salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Saviour of all men. This does away with the teaching of Calvinism, as far as I'm concerned. Does away with that teaching of what the Calvinists talk about, limited atonement. It won't go right through the tulip. Okay? But the word limited atonement, the teaching of the Calvinistic teaching, limited atonement says Christ's work on the cross was only for the elect. Else, if it wasn't, all the world would be saved, is what they teach. God's word says Jesus Christ is the Saviour of all men. All men. And I believe when it says all men, it believes it. What I believe it's saying is when it says all, it's saying all. Everybody. But if you're looking at it through Calvinistic glasses, you'll see the all only means the elect. And I just have a problem with that. I just think we ought to let the Bible say what it says. And then it says, especially, particularly, of those who believe. Verse 11. These things command and teach. Timothy, deal with the facts. Keep away from heresy and speculation. Verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. Don't be intimidated by the fact that you're a young man in the ministry. Be an example of the believers in word. The Bible speaks a lot about our speech. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Be an example of the believers in the way you speak, in word, in conversation. That's our behaviour, our conduct, in charity. That's love. In spirit. I wasn't exactly sure what that meant. Be an example of the believers in spirit. It's a small s. Does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Is it talking about my attitude, character, I wasn't exactly sure. An example of the believers in word, in your behaviour, your conversation, in charity, that's love, in spirit, in faith. The marks of a good minister of Jesus Christ. Principles here. A man who is a minister of Jesus Christ needs to learn to trust in the Lord by faith. The just shall live by faith. In purity. Heart and mind free from defilement. Verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Important things for a minister of Jesus Christ. A lot of reading, encouraging, stirring, exhorting to do what's right. Doctrine. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 says this regarding this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. It says here in verse 14, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The word presbytery is the elders. Well, what was the gift that Timothy had neglected? What was the gift? Neglect not the gift that is in thee. What was the gift that Timothy had possibly neglected? Well, I don't know. Maybe you could tell me. The previous verse 13 talks about exhortation. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. The word is paraklesis, and it means to call on or to appeal to. Much of the ministry is involved in challenging people regarding their walk with the Lord, their obedience to the Word of God, their relationship to Jesus Christ. Maybe Timothy felt a little intimidated because of his age. I'm not sure what it was. The gift that was given to him back in that day. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Seriously think over what I've said in this letter, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. Meditate on it. Think about it. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Timothy, don't be distracted from the task at hand. Many distractions will come into your life. Stay on track, stay true to the Word of God, and your ministry will be a blessing to many. I was thinking about the distractions that Nehemiah had when he was building the wall and doing a great work, and those fellas, Sanballat and Tobiah, and those fellas said, we're down in Ono and we've heard all these reports about you, Nehemiah. And we want you to come down here 25 miles down in Ono. And we want you to come down here and have a meeting with us and discuss with us so that you might be able to maybe clear your name. And Nehemiah sent a message back to them and said, Oh no, I'm not coming. You've framed all this in your own hearts. I've got a work to do. I'm not being distracted from it. I was thinking about in Acts chapter 6 verse 4 and the apostles and the widows, the Grecian widows and the Hebrews, the widows being neglected, and there was just a huge influx in the new church at Jerusalem. And the apostles said in Acts chapter 6 verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. A good minister of Jesus Christ will be careful not to be distracted from priorities in the ministry. Diet, distractions, the last one is discipline. Verses 7 and 8, we'll go back to those. We've pretty much expounded the passage, but the verses 7 and 8, disciplined in godliness, exercise, gymnasia. In the coming weeks, I want to talk about spiritual disciplines in our lives based on this phrase. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness, particularly regarding the Word of God. I want to address to you and challenge you about your Bible intake. How much Bible do you put into your heart and mind during the week? Meditation. I want to talk about meditation on the Word of God, and I want to talk about memorization of God's Word, and I want to talk about the discipline of prayer. In a world today where so many things creeping into our lives, demanding of our time and distracting us, remember, godliness is profitable now in this life and in the life of which is to come, it says in these verses. And so I want to speak about these verses in the next couple of Sunday nights and talk about and challenge you about your Bible intake, about your own quiet time with the Lord. I had a man come to me some time ago and said, where it comes from a fair distance. And he said this to me. He said, we're interested in coming to your church. We're not being fed at the church where we go to. And I said to him, well, that's disappointing. But I said this to him. I said, if you're only coming to our church to be fed from the Word of God, I said, I think you've missed the point. I said, the feeding from the Word of God ought to come in your own quiet time, in your own studies in the Bible between you and the Lord. If you have to come to this church, it's good to go to a church where they're teaching the Word of God, and certainly encourage that, but if that's the only reason you're coming for the wrong reason. All right, the spiritual disciplines, and I'm going to be saying next week, we can do all the disciplines as well. But it's not, won't necessarily make us godly, because it says in the book of Hebrews, it is God that sanctifieth. All the disciplines of the Christian life are merely vehicles to help us to arrive at a godly life. You generally never find a person who is godly who is lazy and undisciplined. They're generally disciplined in some of these areas, in their Bible reading, their memorization, their time in the Word of God, their time in prayer, fasting, evangelizing. And so I want to address some of these things and challenge us about our own personal exercise thyself unto godliness. In a world that so demands of our time. And getting back to some